The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests, and are not those of Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements of any radio show programs or products mentioned on air, on our website, social media accounts and marketing materials. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.
Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorontos.
Thank you for tuning in, and welcome back to The Songwriter Show. I'm your host, Sorontos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words are so important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every Tuesday evening. I strongly believe that every song is a story. The Songwriter Show is broadcast live on number one ranked Pesmo Radio, and has listeners in all 206 countries in the world and every state in the U.S., The station is licensed with ASCAP, BMI, CSAC, and SoundExchange, and has partnerships throughout the music industry, including iHeartRadio and exposure to over 300 million listeners. Tonight's first guest is Zen Large. Zen is a jazz hip-hop artist out of Cary, North Carolina, USA. He's the only rapper in the world who plays the linstrument. The linstrument is an expressive MIDI controller created by legendary electronic music designer Roger Lynn. Zen uses the linstrument to take solos and rap songs, giving him a unique sound.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, Zen. How are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, man. So first thing I got to ask you is, what's new since the last time we talked? It seems like it's been quite a bit. Anything new with you?
Oh my God, that's a really long question. Yeah, a lot has changed. So I wasn't doing hip hop back then, and now I'm doing hip hop and have a new, my rap name, my new Zen Large persona. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I've been really enjoying it. I'm new to the genre, at least as a performer. I've been listening to hip hop since I was a little kid.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been a ton of fun.
So tell us a little bit about what made you branch out to this genre, and then you got to tell me about the name. How'd you come up with that?
Yeah, sure. So I guess I'll start with the name. So first of all, like what I was telling you about when I was on the last time, is I'm really passionate about personal development. And when I was thinking about it, I'm like, what area really exemplifies my take on personal development and growth, right? And it came down to like living a Zen life, which to me, that means the ability to be calm, cool, and collected while walking through a firestorm, while life is throwing curveballs at you. And it's not that you don't acknowledge your feelings or feel your feelings. I mean, to me, living the Zen life is all about feeling your feelings deeply, but you don't let that dictate the actions that you take, right? You do that on your own terms, and then you choose what actions you want to have rather than letting your emotions just drive you. So that's what living the Zen life is all about. So I was like, okay, well, rappers don't just go by their real names, right? It's like Eminem and Snoop Dogg and Tupac, right? Yeah. You can't just go by your real name, right? So I'm like, all right, I can't just go by my real name. So I was like, I came up with Zen Large because I was like, well, my Zen is large. And plus, I like to help out other people to enlarge their Zen. So it kind of works in both ways, right? And for me, so I was looking at what's genre music do I want to go into? Because I love like all kinds of music. I mean, literally, I don't know that there's a genre I don't love. But you can't do that. If you're playing all kinds of genres, nobody's going to actually like you. Because the people that like metal are going to be like, well, I don't like this hip hop you're playing. The people like hip hop are going to be like, well, I don't like this pop stuff you're doing. The people like pop are going to be like, I don't know what you're doing over here with classical, So you kind of have to pick something, right? Or else you're not going to appeal to anyone. And, I've loved hip hop since I was a little kid, and I started doing like just karaoke hip hop a couple years ago, and I just had so much fun doing it that I was like, I think this is it. I think this is the one I can do. I'm having a blast doing it. I also don't have the greatest singing voice in the world either. So that kind of helped me as
well. So you're rapping.
Right. I'm like, yeah, you know, hey, I can actually rap and not be completely terrible. So maybe this is the direction I should go. So yeah, that's how I got there.
So I think, you know, you mentioned Eminem, which means that you got to have two names. So he's Slim Shady and Eminem. So you're what, Zen and Zen Large? I mean, you gotta have two personas, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know, the 38th chamber. I don't know.
Yeah. The next time I have you on, you'll have a second name. All right.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So tell me, is your songwriting process changed now that you're in this new genre?
Yeah, I would say so. It's, you know, hip hop is very beat driven. So I'm looking for like, what's a good beat, you know, when I'm writing the actual music. Right. And then the lyrics, one thing I found is that you tend to have to write a lot more lyrics for when you're writing hip hop than if you're singing. Cause with singing, you can hold a word out for like, you know, for ages. Right. You know, and singing ends up being much slower than just speaking naturally, generally speaking. So you'll say a lot less words in a minute of singing than you would in a minute of speaking. But hip hop's the opposite. You actually end up saying more words typically in a minute than you would in a minute of speaking. So it's just finding that, you know, it's a little more work actually on the writing lyric side. And it's really important for it to be rhythmic more so, where the melody is super important when you're singing. With hip hop, it's more having a good rhythm. Because if I found you can't just make lines, lyrics that rhyme and do it over top of a beat and have a good product. It's got to have a nice rhythm to it in the vocals itself. And, you know, there's a million different rhythms you can go with. You start going through the catalogs of your local hip hop record store. Not that anybody buys records anymore, but you know what I'm saying? Like you'll see there's all kinds of different ways to deliver it, but that's part of the fun is picking, okay, well, you know, what rhythm am I going to use in this song, in this verse, in this particular line right here, because it can change line by line to an extent.
Absolutely. So we got a caller that was going to ask exactly what I was just going to ask you. Katie wants to know, what is the Linstrument? So I was going to ask you to kind of remind the fans about it. She stole my thunder, but tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. So, oh, geez. You know, it's really hard to explain it in words, especially if you're not familiar with some of the like, the geeky technical terms in the music industry and electronic music. It's an electronic musical instrument. And the most common electronic musical instrument is, of course, the keyboard. You know, there's millions and millions of keyboards in the world, right? And it's got some similarities to the keyboard, but the thing that it brings to playing for electronic music is that it's very expressive. You can do things like you would on a guitar that's very expressive that you would struggle to do on a keyboard or on a violin or a saxophone. Like this, you know, in this next song, the song we're going to play coming up, I have the Linstrument to play a saxophone. I do some saxophone leads, and then I do some electric guitar leads. And you would really struggle to get that same kind of expression with a traditional keyboard, right? So it's a, I mean, I could go into more technical detail, but it would probably bore half the audience. I'd recommend just look, if you do a search for Linstrument and just watch some of these on YouTube, you know, there's not a whole lot of people playing it. I think there's only 2,000 or 3,000 sold in the world. And I know for a fact that some musicians have more than one of them. So there's very few people in the world actually playing this thing, but it's amazing. I love it.
Has your new genre changed how you integrate the instrument?
Wow, great question. So I'm finding that it on the solo side, probably not. I still just kind of listen to my muse and follow where my muse takes me when I'm doing the solo. But a lot of times I will actually write all the backing tracks in the music, right? So you know, you can always just get a backing track off of YouTube or, you know, collaborate with another musician and have them write like a backing track for you and you perform over top of it. So I could do that. And I've done that before. I've had collaborated with other musicians where I do some rap over top of the music, maybe put an instrument solo down and they handle everything else, the bass, the drums, the whatnot, the keyboards.
Sure.
But the song Two Worlds that you're going to play coming up, I do everything on it other than the drums. And so for hip hop, the genre of hip hop, there's many subgenres. I do I'm in the jazz hop subgenre, where we're doing, it's basically rap over top of jazz music, or mine is even maybe a little more specific than that, in that it's funk music, funk being a subgenre of jazz. So when I'm making the backing tracks for this music, I'm having to really channel my inner Bootsy Collins, right? My inner George Clinton to kind of get into some of the funk beats that I like to rap over top of, where, previously I'd done, when I was on your show last time, I did a jazz song as well, but I've done some rock. Like I said, I have a lot of different genres I like. So it's the solos is probably not that different, honestly. It's just just letting my soul sing through the instrument, just channeling my muse. But the rhythms and the melodies in the song, those are more in the funk style than I was doing previously.
How has your collaborating changed in this new genre? You still collaborate with people? Is it different?
Sure. So what I found, the great thing about making music is you start to notice things as a fan of music that you wouldn't otherwise notice. So I've been listening to hip hop for, closing in on 40 years now. And, I grew up listening to like LL Cool J and the Fresh Prince and Fat Boys and these guys in the 80s, right? And then I started getting to high school, I was getting into gangster rap and NWA and Eazy-E and Snoop Dogg and stuff like that. But, I listened to this for years, and then I started making rap music, and I started hearing all these things that I never heard before, and it gave me a whole new appreciation for the music that it was actually, I always thought of like rap music was, I really enjoyed it, but I was just like, yeah, it's pretty simple music. But I was like, there's a lot of complexity here that I wasn't giving it credit for just because I wasn't listening with a musician's ear. So as I was listening, like one of the things is I find that the rap that I enjoy, they put a lot of variety into the vocals. It's not just delivering lyrics in a rhythmic fashion and to a cadence, right? They have a lot of techniques they use to make it so that it doesn't get boring, because you're not really, when you're rapping, most of the time you're not actually doing a melody like you would when you're singing, right? It's more like speaking with rhythm.
Yeah.
So to keep it from getting boring, they have all these techniques they use. And one way that what I found is the songs I tended to like were ones that had multiple vocal performers on them, multiple rappers, and even multiple singers. A lot of times they will mix in singing, especially you'll hear that in the chorus. The verses might be rapped, but the chorus will be sung. So I was like, okay, I need to start collaborating because it's going to be adding spice to my music. It's like, if you make a stew and all you put in is salt, it might be okay, but it's gonna be a lot better if you have some pepper and you put a little garlic powder in there and some onion powder or whatever, So I was like, hey, this is an opportunity to collaborate, which is fun, meet new interesting artists and make my music more interesting and just put out a better product, right? So I've started collaborating with new people. Now it's like every song I put out, at least my original songs, on covers, I don't worry about it so much. But if I'm putting out an original song, I'm like, okay, I want to get some other people to work with me on this to add that spice in, right? I want it to be as spicy as it can be, as flavorful as it can be.
Yeah, I think especially in today's day and age, people get bored very quickly. So multiple different vocalists, things always changing, is kind of almost a must if you want to have a top hit.
Yeah. And so you'll see that a lot in the Two Worlds songs that comes up. If you listen closely to the backing track, it's changing constantly. And I've got four different vocal performers on there. There's a woman singing, there's another rapper that raps with me, and then I have a guy, a voice actor that does the intro. He's got this amazing raspy voice. So yeah, I definitely took that to heart in this particular song for sure.
What's the biggest challenge you have seen in the genre you're in right now, hip hop, rap?
Well, probably just there's so much competition, right? I would like to get, popular, you have more people listening to me, not so much because I need to be a big rap star. I mean, I'm a married guy, middle-aged, have a great day job. I don't need to be successful in my music to have a roof over my head and good food on the table, right? I have security, you know, and I'm not interested in chasing a bunch of women or anything like that. I've got children and a wife, and but for me, it's all about helping other people. So like I said, I really enjoy helping other people to enlarge their Zen, and I use music as a way to connect. It's like, hey, this is a way to connect with people that might otherwise not be interested in personal development, because I know for myself, I've seen so much dramatic improvement in my life, and just from going from being, you know, miserable and rock bottom to where I'm, you know, 10 years ago to where now it's a whole different life for me, where I'm just, you know, every day is amazing, and I want other people to have that too. So, but the competition is incredible right now. I mean, if you go on YouTube or, you know, SoundCloud or all these different platforms, iTunes, I mean, now anybody with a microphone pretty much has access to anybody in the world who's got an internet connection, right? So, yeah. You know, there's a lot of crap out there, of course.
But there's really a lot of good stuff too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, there's a lot of really talented people that actually haven't learned how to make it a good product. You know, like there's a lot that goes into, like when you're trying to do this at home, you might be super talented, but if you don't have the right equipment or the right knowledge of how to use that equipment, you know, it might come out with a poor product, but then there's so many people that do have that knowledge too. Cause it's now you can go on YouTube and, you know, you can get your degree on YouTube, right? With how to make music. There's any platform you want, any software you want. There's tutorials on there, and they'll teach you how to make good music. And it's just, you just have to put the work in. And like you said, so many people have. So trying to find a way to have my voice stand out in the crowd is tough, just because there's just tremendous competition.
Yeah. And I think you have to always, part of this show is, I think you have to keep honing your craft. I've been doing this is my seventh year, and I do things so differently than I did a few months ago, let alone a year or 7 years ago. And you have to almost have that hunger to keep working hard towards your end goal, which is to make something that people want to hit the rewind button and be like, wow, that I just got to hear that again. That's what we're all craving. It really is.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your future plans. What do you anticipate in the next year? What's like your big project that you're trying to finish?
Wow. Well, this would have been really different had you asked me like 2 months ago. So I was getting to the point where I was like, yeah, I want to get a couple more songs up on my YouTube channel, on my my Bandcamp page, whatnot. And then I'm going to really hit it hard playing out. You know, I want to, at this point, I'm like I said, I'm new to rap. So I've only had two public performances, and, you know, I've done a number of private performances for friends and family and whatnot, but I've only had two public ones, and I'm like, yeah, I want to really get out there and just start hitting the clubs and get a lot of experience and gain that confidence and start, you know, I'd like to be playing festivals and things of that nature. Right. But I'm like, I really need to work on performing live, just cause I haven't done it a lot, at least in this genre. Yeah. And of course, COVID put a stop to all that. I haven't got to get out and do any of that. Yeah. So I'm hoping that's going to open up soon, and you know, we'll be able to return to some form of normalcy, and people will still be interested in going out and seeing live music, and get out, because, I mean, one of the great things about performing music is just connecting with other people, right? And for me, I was never one to just make my music in alone in a dark room. You know, I always wanted to share my music with the world. And so I'm hoping to get out there and, you know, not just share it on YouTube, but actually get out there in the clubs and share it. So, but I, you know, I'm not banking on that. I basically want to keep putting out new songs, keep improving my craft as a musician, as a, you know, a sound engineer, a producer, getting better at the marketing side to help grow it, so that I can connect with as many people as possible, so I can help as many people as possible. And, you know, I also, as part of that, on my YouTube channel, I put out roughly a weekly vlog called the Zenlarge Show, you know, where I talk about some of the tips and tricks that I have to help you to live that Zen life that I've been talking about. So I my goal is basically to put out a Zenlarge Show every week and a new song every month. And, you know, I'm not going to beat myself up if I don't hit that every single time, but just kind of have that goal out there and hope to reach it most of the time. And if I reach it most of the time, then I'll be doing pretty good.
Yeah. Tell us your socials, your website. Where can people buy your music, listen to it, get a hold of you?
Sure. So the sites where I'm most active is YouTube and Facebook. If you just go on there and search for Zen Large, Z-E-N, large, you know, or take the word N large and put a Z in front of it, you'll find me. And I also, you can go to my website as zenlarge.co. So if you go to zenlarge.co, there's an option to purchase music there. And there's also links to my Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and whatnot. But those are the places to find me. The name is unique enough that if you search for Zen Large, you'll go right to me.
All right. So if I search for Zen Small, you're not going to pop up. It's got to be Zen Large.
That's my mortal enemy. Yeah. I'll take him down in rap battle. All right, anytime, man. He wants.
Yeah. So we got a minute here till we hear your song. Tell us about this song. What inspired it? What he wants to take from it when we hear it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, geez. In a minute. So I was, you know, I'm on Facebook, and I started corresponding with this other rapper. He goes by the name of Balls, and he's an 8-year-old kid out of Nigeria. Yeah, 8-year-old kid out of Nigeria. And he's like, you sound so great, man. We should do a song together. Can we do a song together? And I was like, yeah, sure. And I said, well, I've got this song, Balls. It's, you know, it's called Two Worlds. I'll talk about my world, about, you know, going 9-to-5 job and a wife and kid. And you talk about your world where you're playing video games and soccer after school and, you know, struggles with your getting in trouble at school and whatnot, you know, and it'll be two worlds. He's like, yeah, that's a great idea. So he, you know, like 2 or 3 days later, he sends me back what he's got, his vocals recorded. And he's like, yeah, I've got it. Let me know what you think. And listening to it, and it's like, this kid is like pouring his heart out about his world. Like, you know, if you listen, he's like, you know, this, he's in the third world, right? And it's like, you know, no hope, no love. I just pray that I can make it out. And it's really heartbreaking listening to it. But I was so impressed. I'm like, wow, this kid is, you know, at 8 years old is writing these lyrics that are just so moving. And I'm like, I've got to step up my game to make sure I'm providing a counter to that. So I tried to go back and forth with him, and it ended up being really a song about gratitude, where appreciating what you have, where Americans don't really appreciate what they have. And they don't realize how rich we are compared to other people in other countries. So, and of course I wrote this before COVID. So like when it released and you know, so many people have lost their jobs and people are losing their businesses and whatnot, I felt kind of bad releasing a song complaining about how Americans don't appreciate what they have. But even still, even today, Americans are way better off than the people in the third world that are really struggling during this lockdown right now. They are in a lot of cases, like having to go without food and just the basic necessities of life. Where in America, we're just like, oh, you know, I have to collect my unemployment check, but you're fine. You know what I mean? I mean, in the grand scheme of things, you're really fine. So.
All right. Well, Zen Master, Zen Large, Zen Small, Zen, it was great having you on the show. We're going to hear your song right now and be happy to have you on again anytime.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, Zen, here we go.
In one world, you've got Zen Large, a 40-something-year-old guy living the American dream. A good job, a house in the suburbs, wife, kid, two dogs, surrounded by a bunch of spoiled, entitled Americans. Then you've got Balls, an 8-year-old rapper out of Lagos, Nigeria, a true baller. Well, his world's not exactly like that. Two worlds, different, but in some ways the same.
My world, wake up grateful every day, got a job to work, got bills to pay. Kiss my wife and daughter, pat my dog on the head. This happens every morning when I get out of bed. Drink a cup of coffee, check the news on my phone. Say a couple meditations, get myself in the zone. Call my team, make a plan, don't gotta work it alone. Time in the afternoon, hits a million minds are blown. Later that day, I get a call. My homie's in town, he wants to have a ball. Take him to the local bar, there's good music tonight. DJ spinning fine records, that beat so tight. Lots of smiles and laughs while we're catching up. Exchanging story after story as I fill my cup. Get home before it's too late, go to bed. Next day I wake up and I do it again. My world.
Can we be one family?
My world.
Let us stop. in my mind. I had to grab the mic just so I could let it out. I hope I can make it out of this. Only one piece, there's just no doubt. Dude, please count up my shine. I realize no life without family. And then I tell my God how blessed I must have been to be a part of them. In good and in bad times, I think about the joy and I pray it never ends. I wanna take some time with my maker. I pray I hit a big despite tribulations. I pray I make him proud, no regrets for building me. I wish you be a better me, love is in control. People wanna stop you right on the back. I hear they wanna claim they owe you so much love. Don't make sure you don't ever get so much attached. I'm praying on my mind, no disrespect, sort of advice.
All right, cool. That was a really cool song. Sorry that we had to cut that in half, but we'll put links up to it and you guys can check it out.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Our next guest, I'm really happy to introduce Liva. She's a Toronto-based singer, songwriter, and actress. She has released her debut album in 2014, and she has continued writing music and releasing songs ever since then. Her latest singles, Isn't It Funny, and Last Summer, were released in the early 2020. It has gained considerable traction on digital platforms such as Spotify, so check it out. She's also written and recorded an original song for the soundtrack to the movie, The Petrichor, in which she plays the lead role. Welcome to the show, Liva. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. So I think you're from Toronto, correct?
Yes, that's right.
You know, I love Toronto. I've been there a couple of times, and I always think of it as like the Chicago in Canada. You guys got some really cool things going on up there.
Yes, cool things and bad weather constantly changing. It's like in Chicago as well. It's like sunny one day, and then it's snowing, and then it's sunny again. So it's kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, except Chicago is not a mean place, but I think you guys are probably a lot nicer than us in Chicago.
I don't know. I've been to Chicago actually twice, and the wind was also so strong.
Yeah.
It was pretty cold. Yeah, so even though we visited like in spring or something. So I don't know. It felt like it's very similar, but it makes me feel better then.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about your music. When did you first start getting into music? How old were you?
Actually, I started super late for any musician. I actually born in Latvia and I came to Canada 10 years ago and I didn't speak English. And I spent like maybe 2 years first learning how to speak English and then trying to write songs in English. And it was quite transition from Russian, what I was writing before.
So
I came to Canada in 2011 and I was really lucky. I had a collaboration with a producer from Great Britain and we did an album together and I released in 2014. We did it independently and we sold more than 10,000 copies at the bars and like
That's
venues.
Pretty good.
And,
That's great.
Yeah, it was really good. And at that time I was, kind of thinking that this is not a success. And I thought that it's nothing because you always kind of think like, oh, I want a bigger or I have different goals. So at that time I didn't kind of like pay attention that it was actually a good achievement. Only maybe now after 5 years, I kind of like look back and I was like, oh, that was actually not a bad start for an independent artist without the manager or without the team. But at that time I felt like I failed because I thought like, oh, I was blaming on my English, I was blaming on my accent, and I didn't really pay attention, and I always thought it's a bad start. So it took me like maybe another 2-3 years until I started writing again because I was really disappointed how it went, and I thought that I'm going to get a management team, and I thought the thing's going to kind of like skyrocket. So I kind of felt like that kid who like writes music and thinks that, oh, with the first album, everything gonna kind of like fall into places, which was super childish of me. And
it's not childish of you. It's not childish of you. We all think that. It's not just the young people. Every time I release a song, I'm like, this is it. You know, every month I'm like, this is the one. So it's not, it's not childish. I totally get it. I empathize with you.
So yeah, so it took me about 2-3 years. I took a break and I thought, okay, and I probably should go back to my kind of like normal life. I should find a job and music is not for me. And I have an accent and English is not my third language. And I thought like, what am I doing actually? And then it was really interesting how like music was slowly crawling back into my life. Whatever I would do, I would always like start like rhyming something, or I would like see piano and start like putting chords together. Like it kind of like almost not me trying to find an inspiration, but inspiration was like kind of like pushing me to write. And my mom is my very close friend, and we had a conversation about it, and she told me, it's like, stop concentrating on who hears it and how many people. It's like, you love it and this is the way of you doing it. And she was like saying to me that like you're way happier when you write, so it doesn't matter, like forget about your accent and use it as advantage, people will remember you. So I started writing again.
I think that's true. I think your accent makes you unique. I don't think it's a hindrance at all, to be honest with you.
It's very interesting how sometimes we concentrate on the wrong things. We always think that something is holding us back, but it's us who's holding us back. You know, there's no reason to succeed. And later in life, I realized there's so many incredible actors with accents, incredible musicians. And later on, I actually used it as my advantage in both worlds. And actually, when I stopped caring about my accent, it's when the things start kind of happening. And it was a really interesting experience. And again, we're learning, we're growing, we find the way to make things work. So yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your songwriting process. How do you get started? Is it with the piano, chords, melody? How do you prefer getting started?
You know, it's always different, always different. Sometimes I would just sit by my piano, mess up with some, like just messing around and like put some chords together and start humming a melody, and then I go and write lyrics. Or sometimes I write lyrics kind of in a like more poetry style, and then I go to my piano and try to put chords together. Or recently I discovered a new thing. I was actually listening to a podcast of Desmond Child. He's an amazing songwriter. And he was saying when he was learning to write songs, he would always start with a topic. He would find out the hook, the topic where he was writing about, and then he would go from there. And I actually tried it a couple months ago, and I really love this approach to just first to know what you want to talk about. So I would write down on a piece of paper what I want to talk about as an essay, and then I will figure out a line to make it as a hook. And then I would go and just like sit down. I'm really big in meditating. Like I love meditating, and I would just kind of meditate on it and sit and think what I want to write first. And then I would know right away if I should sit by my piano, or I should just write lyrics for it and try to rhyme it. Or sometimes I rhyme it and then I come to my producer and I say, listen, like I have a good feeling about the lyrics, but I wasn't sure about the melody, so do you think you can try? And sometimes he would try to put it on the melody, and we kind of collaborate together. So it's like it's always a different process, and I try to kind of, I read this amazing book and by the author who wrote, oh my God, I just forgot right now, Eat, Pray, Love. She has an amazing book. Oh, it will come up to me. Sorry, sometimes like, you know, some names just like leave your brain. It's crazy. And she said that, like, you know, like you have so many ideas kind of floating around, and when you kind of stumble upon some idea and you don't finish it, it's kind of like you betray this idea. Like they're always kind of like in the air. There's so much, you just have to listen. So stop being stubborn and trying to like, oh, this song or I need like ABCD, just like listen around. And I remember like one of the songs which actually did the best on Spotify was the song which I wrote in the car, and I was going to the studio, and I was supposed to record completely two different songs, and then I was just humming this melody in my head. And previous that morning, I missed audition, and I don't know how that happened. I just messed it up, and sometimes I sabotage myself, and I left my house early, and somehow I end up being late, and I lost my spot, and the casting director was really strict, so I couldn't audition. And I was like blaming myself all morning because I knew that I can't do that, but somehow I did it, and I didn't have an answer, and I was just like kind of like sitting in my head, and I was like in my car and thinking in my head, like, isn't it funny that sometimes like I'm run away from the things that I really want, and then I'm just like sitting there, and I'm really close to my recording studio, and the light is red, and I'm just sitting there and start singing like isn't it funny. And then when I parked by my studio, I just like had the rest of the chorus already kind of written in my head, and I like run into the studio, and I'm like, piece of paper, I'm like, it's gonna leave my head now. Yeah. And I wrote it down, and then I locked myself in another room, and I wrote the verse, and then I showed it to my producer, and he's like, oh my God, this is such a better song than what we're supposed to record. And we completely kind of like erased or put it on the shelf the songs we wanted to work on, and we took this song, and that day we actually recorded the demo, did the music, and the song was like out in like 3 weeks, and usually it takes me like 2 months to work on the song, but this song was like so fast, and it was like right there. So now I'm constantly trying to listen for ideas, because I know they're kind of like floating in the air, and I believe in that. And instead of forcing, some days I really want to try to write something, and I'm forcing and I'm trying and nothing comes out. I just like relax and I wait. And this moment always comes, and sometimes even comes in my dream, and I get into habit of like trying to wake myself up, and then grab a piece of paper and a pen and just writing whatever I have. So yeah, that was a really long explanation. Yeah. To your question.
That's okay. What's the most challenging thing you've gone through in last year?
Last year was actually a super good year for me. And it's interesting that I'm going through so much hard time right now with COVID happening. Mainly because last year I was really lucky to book a lead role in a movie, The Petrichor. And The Petrichor got into so many festivals in 2020, and now all of them, one by one, are just like canceling or they're moving it online. And this is such a hard thing for me to digest, because I was auditioning for 10 years, and any actor who's listening can relate how hard it is sometimes in just auditioning and nothing happens, or you get one liner or you get like small part. And this role was like just so perfect for me. And I used to be a professional figure skater. And when I book it, it was about the figure skater. And then I came to a producer and a director after the movie, and I said, listen, I also skate, so can I do all the tricks myself? I really want to like go from beginning to the end and play through everything. That's so great. That was kind of super exciting. We were waiting, and when all the good news started happening, we knew we were getting into so many amazing festivals, and then one by one they've been canceled or they've been postponed. And I booked to other TV shows which also are on hold and everything. So actually like last year, surprisingly, it was really smooth year. And in terms of the songs, we also got really good streaming on all the social media platforms. And we didn't even think about it. We didn't even allocate any budget for promotion. We just kind of like decided to release a song every month and see how it goes. And then I ended up writing a soundtrack for the movie. And I talked to the director about it, and I said, listen, I feel like I really want to write the song for the movie. And she was like, listen, let's leave it to a professional. Let's leave it to someone who actually does it for a living. And I said, listen, like, I feel I can do it. Can I write it? And if you don't like it, you can go with somebody else. And then I wrote it with my producer, and they loved it, and all the crew loved it, and all the management team and PR, and they took the song. So that was kind of like the happiest moment of my life, because both of my worlds, acting and singing, kind of like came together finally, because a lot of people, a lot of my coaches and also my relatives were telling me, Olga, focus on one thing, like get acting or get singing, like don't do both. And I was like, no, I feel like they kind of help each other. And my idea of that kind of like came true last year. So it was a really good year, and kind of 2020, I know I'm not the only one with COVID happening and everything. It's kind of like went down, and I guess the hardest part would be like not being able to like write together with the people I wrote with, and not being in the studio that much, and being home. I still write a lot, but it's just the execution of everything. And even right now we got like 3 songs ready. We're ready to release, but I really wanted to shoot a promotional material for that. And I only wanted to shoot it with my team, and the team who always does all my visuals, but half of them are quarantining and half of them are away. So I kind of be waiting for a perfect moment to do that. So
yeah, it's tough, but you'll get on your feet. Tell us about your website. Where can people listen to your music? If there's a place they can watch this film or anything you want to share with the audience, please feel free to do so.
People can listen to my songs on Spotify. They can just type Liva, L-I-V-V-A. That's my stage name. You can find all the songs there. You can read more info and find more cover songs on my Instagram, Liva Music, L-I-V-V-A Music. Movie, unfortunately, is not out yet. It's supposed to be out after the festival season, but since all of this happening in the world right now, we don't know when the movie gonna premiere yet. So it's not available anywhere on the platforms, and we don't know what's gonna happen to it, to be honest. So fingers crossed that we'll find the right time and place to be released.
Okay. All right, Liva, we're gonna hear your song Last Summer right now. I wanna thank you for being on the show. And please, when the movie comes out, definitely email me or shoot me a link, and I'll definitely share it for you.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Okay, Liva, no problem. All right, we're going to hear Last Summer right now.
I remember last summer, I would dance in your room, parties in your backyard, laying next to each other. We smoked in your bed, brought me out of my head, made me coffee in the mornings. Ask your roommate by the weather why I'm standing in your sweater, and I'm trying not to stutter. I remember last summer. It's been a year and I'm to blame. This time I don't feel quite the same. No, I'm not going home with you tonight. And now it's like we never parted, we never ended what we started. I'm just too good.
Another wonderful song. I want to thank both my guests for being on the show tonight. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. I know your time is precious, and I want to thank you for sharing some of it with me tonight. To any listeners out there who may be artists, if you want to be on the Songwriter Show, please just feel free to reach out to me. Thank you again for listening. I hope your own unique story gets heard around the world. My name is Sarantos, and please join me every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at The Songwriter Show. And tonight, I'm going to leave you with a song that I just released this weekend called Mother's Day. It's a simple song dedicated to my mama. Every Mother's Day, I try to think hard about the perfect gift to give her, and no matter how hard I try, I've never thought my gifts let her know how much I truly love and care for her. So this year, I just wrote a song for her instead. And I offered it to her and wanted just to say thank you for everything you've ever done for me. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you guys have a great week. And I'll see you next week. Thank you.
You always wore an eager smile. I don't know how you had such style and still got it done. Believed and made sure you just always had the cure, and you get it done. Hug with you can last far as long as you wanted to. Worry won't change our tomorrow, but you worry anyway, yes you do.
Mother's Day deserves a 2 to 2, and this Mother's Day I want more for you. Yeah, you deserve a never ending thank you, so I put it in the song just for you. You're always there just when I need you. You're the glue, it's nothing new, so I put it in the song for you.
Thank you.
it's nothing new, so I put it in a song for you.
Thank you for listening to The Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.
Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.